are live. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to jump right back into our April Commission meeting. We've gone through a number of items on the agenda, so if you are playing along at home, we're going to move to number six. This is the petitions, landowner, muzzleloader, deer preference. And I know we'll have Director Kirschman visit with us, and I'm unsure at this point if the petitioners were able to join us.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the Commission. Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. You do have two petitions in front of you today as part of your Commission agenda. The first one would be agenda item number six, page 14 of your book. This is a petition related to muzzleloader deer hunting. Again, for those listening in, maybe some of those that are hearing the first time how the petition process works. Excuse me. When the commission and the department receives a petition from an individual, from the public, the commission has 30 days to act upon these petitions, and acting on either means accept the petition, and if you accept it in the form that is presented to you, then that starts the rule promulgation process, which will then have the proposal to take public comment, ultimately have a public hearing and make a final decision on that petition, which becomes your proposal at that time if you accept it. The other option is the denial of a petition. Through your conversations, discussions, deliberations, if you believe that the petition should not move forward, you have the option to deny it, and then you would also pass a resolution with the details and justification for denying such a petition as well. So today you have two of them in front of you, and we'll take the first one. It was submitted by Mr. Chris Heitzman from the Lake Andes area, and this is a petition in respect to the concept of applying landowner preference to the muzzleloader tag or some other solutions. I know Chris is here today. I actually had the opportunity to be on his farm when he started his farm down in Charles Mix County a long, long time ago, and he was crazy enough to listen to me as a former pheasant biologist at one time to create habitat. But Chris is here today, and he would like to speak to the commission, address the reason and rationale for submitting his petition. So, Chris, I invite you up to speak to the commissioners.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Secretary, and commissioners. It's an honor and privilege to be able to petition for you today. And I'd like to start out just by saying kudos for any other work you've done related to mentored tags, because it allowed three generations in our family to be in the deer stand this fall and have a outdoor experience. My name is Chris Hitzman. I own and operate 700 acres in Charles Mix County in between Lake Andes and Geddes. And I spent the last 23 years converting really good corn and soybean producing ground into premium wildlife habitat. And I like to hunt pheasants, I like to hunt deer, I like to hunt in groups and have other people come on my property and hunt. And I think all the tag options that are out there are great. It's just that my experience, you know, in building habitat for 23 years, I was just able to hunt with a muzzleloader this last fall, and it's taken me about that long to get a muzzleloader tag. So the other thing is, I purchased a $700 muzzleloader hunt with this fall, and now I put it in the gun case, and I'm told by Game Fish and Park staff that it might take me up to 7 years before I can use that weapon to hunt in the month of December during the muzzleloader season. So I've thought of different ways, talked to other farmer, landowner, partners, acquaintances about that conundrum, and it just seems somewhat unreasonable for a resident landowner of a certain amount of acres not to be able to take advantage of a muzzleloader season with a great weapon that has a certain lethality that archery components don't, or even rifle. And the time of the year is important as well. And I looked at other states around us, and they have a little more liberal or reasonable ways to acquire a muzzleloader tag in order to go out and hunt in the month of December. So I'd be open to other avenues to, other than landowner preference. I think there's other ways to do it. I know the state of Nebraska kind of puts an allotment of tags in the landowner's hands, and they can choose which weapons they want to harvest, what animals That's one way to do it. I'm not saying we go to their system, but that's just, I think, landowner preference as far as how it applies to other tags seems to be the easiest way to go. Thank you.
Very good. Any questions for Chris about the petition before us? Commissioner Beese.
Yeah, I'd like to ask the department on this question. With a landowner-only deer tag, which you can obtain every year, you can use any weapon, right? Archery, rifle, black powder on your own land if you have that tag.
Correct.
Is that right?
Correct.
So, I mean, that's an option. If you don't grab your regular black powder, you can get a landowner tag and hunt that with your black powder rifle.
Well, I do.
Maybe not. I don't know. How long does that season go? Just during the like.
So a landowner-owned land tag is in respect to the respective season. So in Mr. Hitzman's case, that would be an East River deer tag for a landowner-owned land. So it would be during the regular East River deer season. So that weekend prior to Thanksgiving to that weekend after Thanksgiving, when the LOL land or license would be valid for that property.
And the reason I ask is you mentioned that you know, other states, you can hunt with whatever weapon for that season. And we have that, too, if you don't draw on that one season. That's one, but I didn't know if you knew that or not.
Yeah, I talked with other landowners that really enjoy hunting on September 1st with the bow, because that's when they feel it's the best time to go. I don't enjoy that season, but I do enjoy hunting with the bow. And I've come to learn that even as evidence as last year, when you have a really warm fall, some of your target animals might not even show up until the last 2 days of December. You know, they're active in the early hours of the morning, that type of thing. So I've just grown to really enjoy that month of December as being out in the stand and hunting. And the muzzleloader is a very, it's a much better weapon of lethality than, say, a crossbow or a bow is, you know. And that's after the firearms East River gun season kind of concludes.
And I know we are going to hear from Director Cushman as well, but do we have any other questions at this time for Chris? Commissioner Teal.
So if I'm not mistaken, you're more interested in the muzzleloader hunt and being able to hunt the month of December.
Correct.
Not November.
Correct.
Correct. Okay, got it.
Additional questions? We will maybe have you on standby if any questions come up. For now, Director Cushman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Commissioners. Again, Tom Kirschman, Director of the Wildlife Division. So we had a lot of conversation about this particular petition internally. Certainly understand the request here from Mr. Hitzman and looking at opportunities for continuing those hunting opportunities during the month of December for the muzzleloader season. You know, when you look at this, this is probably more related to the concept of some buck hunting opportunities, obviously. And when we talk about landowner preference and those things, you know, it's getting those opportunities and acknowledging and recognizing landowners for what they do for housing deer, dealing with damage, all those other things that come along with wildlife on their property. So one of the things that we do, obviously, through many of our seasons is provide some unique opportunities to landowners, whether it's landowner preference through a limited draw, the landowner-owned land license that Commissioner Beese just brought up. And in some areas, we even offer free antlerless licenses, two antlerless free on their property to help address depredation, things like that. But when it comes down to buck hunting opportunities, it also comes down to the fair and equitable opportunities that we provide for all people out there. And when we do that, we have to consider landowners, non-landowners, the hunters, residents, non-residents, and any other group you can think of, right? And those that just have an interest in archery, and those just have an interest in muzzleloader, and those just with a rifle, and then those that enjoy all three of them. And so the fair and equitable part is not the easy part. That's the hardest part of it all. And that's part of this conversation today when we look at this. At the end of the day, to provide more deer hunting opportunities, especially for bucks, it really comes down to having more deer
and ultimately that leads to more license opportunities as well. It's very safe to say when we think about just the request for muzzleloader deer season here, one of our biggest downsides that we have in South Dakota is the number of seasons that we offer to our deer hunters and those interested in deer hunting. It's very, very complex. We've talked about it numerous times. That was a primary conversation of the deer drawing structure back in 2019, and where we are today with our deer structure. So nothing's easy. It's very complicated and more complex. And so the petition brought here today asking about landowner preference being applied to muzzleloader deer season for those 1,000 licenses that are available as an any deer tag, i.e. the buck hunting opportunity, adding that landowner preference concept, we would look at it as well as adding more complexity, more complication to the whole deer drawing structure that we have, in particular from the various seasons. Also associated with this, when we look at our other statewide seasons, whether it's archery, obviously Mentor, all those other ones, we do not apply landowner preference to those. Landowner preference is really designated to those seasons where we have limited draw opportunities, whether we're talking deer, antelope, turkey, and where we have license allocations at a unit level, a hunting unit level, where we apply that. Again, I've talked about fair and equitable distribution of these hunting opportunities. We certainly understand that. The other concept that Mr. Hitzman had in his petition was maybe it's a concept of if you have your landowner license, for example, in this case, East River deer season, that would then convert over to a muzzleloader tag in the month of December. Some of you may recall at one time we did have, when we were trying to harvest a lot of deer, especially white-tailed deer across the state at one time, we actually had a system in place where your any deer tag converted to an antlerless only tag in a specific time frame in the month of December. But I would offer to you what was different about that. It was within that season. It was a any deer tag in the East River deer season then would potentially convert over to that antlerless license. In this example, we're talking about a license from one season, East River deer, now converting over to a license for the muzzleloader deer season. Now we're going from season to season, which certainly makes things more complicated and confusing in our opinion from that standpoint. So all in all, just based on the petition, certainly understand what he is striving to do here, but we would bring forward for those reasons. Our recommendation would be not to move forward with this particular petition. We are in the process, obviously, as you know, having conversations about the deer drawing structure, deer management. What are potential adjustments are we going to be looking at moving into the future with our overall deer drawing structure? If there's some type of idea generated from this that should be part of that conversation, then we will absolutely make sure to incorporate it regardless of the fact. But based on those reasons, our department recommendation to you would be not to move forward with this petition at this time. Madam Chair, I'm sure stand by for any questions that I might try to answer for you.
Very good. Any questions for Director Kirschman? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director Kirschman, I don't know if you can hear me. There we go. Can you tell me how many muzzleloader licenses are available, and are they all taken during the regular draw?
Madam Chair. Yeah. Commissioner Bartling, so when we talk about muzzleloader deer season, there are the 01 or the any deer licenses. We have 1,000 of those available for the limited draw portion of it. And then we have the antlerless whitetail licenses, which does not have a finite number on them. So they're over the counter, essentially, one per person a year. Those particular licenses are only valid in certain hunting units based off of some of your conversation earlier that Andrew Norton provided to you where we're making adjustments. So if we have a hunting unit in East River, West River deer season and we don't issue antlerless licenses, then those antlerless licenses for muzzleloader and archery are not valid in that particular hunting unit. So the 1,000, the buck licenses are allocated through the limited draw. And so when we do our combined deer drawing, folks put in their application, if that's a highly desired license that they want for those 1,000 tags. It is a highly desired tag. We see, it was mentioned in the petition, I mean, you're going to have several years of preference to draw one of those. But there are people that
really thoroughly enjoy that, and they will wait their 4, 5, 6 years, whatever it is, to draw it. So there are no leftover licenses, and there are unlimited licenses for cannabis.
Additional questions?
Commissioner Beese here. So we don't allow any landowner tags for like the 50% for the muzzleloader season, right?
No, Commissioner Beese.
And he's asking to add that 50% for landowners to obtain. If I'm not, I was kind of mistaken or didn't understand it earlier, but I've been thinking about it here and now I know what he's saying. If we did put this forward, does it have to go to 50%, or do we have the ability to say 10% or 20% of the tax go to landowners? But does the commission have the authority to do that, since it'd be different from the normal 50% allocation?
Commissioner Beese, so there is a rule, somebody correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a rule, administrative rule, that says up to 50% can be set aside for landowner preference. And so it could be a smaller number under that. But I'm going to look at Scott to see if he remembers, or Secretary Rowling, you concur with that statement?
It is in rule, but I'll
So the commission could go at a lower number if they chose to do so.
Is there any statistics out there that tell us how many landowners are getting these tags?
No. Commissioner Beese, we don't have anything readily available. I mean, we could certainly do some diving into the data based on by names and try to cross-reference if they put in or are eligible for landowner preference in other seasons. But for muzzleloader specifically, no, because there's not the landowner preference associated with it.
Additional questions? Commissioner Teal.
Real quick, Tom, I should know this, but I don't. If a landowner gets an any deer on land landowner license, are they eligible for an additional license, like any sort of landowner license, or is that the only tag they can acquire?
Commissioner Teal, so I'm going to give you the example. Put an arbitrary person in West River deer season. If they submit an application for a landowner preference during the limited draw and they are successful, they are not eligible then to receive a landowner-owned land license after the fact, because they've already obtained a license that would contain that buck tag. If they were unsuccessful, then they could go back afterwards and pick up a landowner-owned land for the property that they own or lease for ag purposes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Additional questions for Director Kirschman or comments? Seeing none, we need some, Commissioner Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, thank you for bringing the petition. It sends you through the whole thought process on, the muzzleloader, the rifle, the fact that you could, we've had these talks with people with, like, crossbows, for example, to enable people. That's the deer season. We call it a rifle season, and that throws a lot of people off. It's also, you could use a muzzleloader with a scope, with a magnifying scope during that season, if you will. Pistols that are that meet the requirements. I mean, it's just a lot of things during that season. Specifically to enhance the landowner's draw, I guess, on this, that 50, say we did 50%, you'd have a lot more landowners getting. And I just, today, 2024, we're not, I don't feel in a position where it would be good to allocate more buck licenses. I mean, it's just, it's a really neat thing to be able to draw a buck license, and we're getting other factors in here. EHD, bad winters last year. This winter, thankfully, was good, but we had a lot of deer loss. And Andrew's presentation earlier, staff is working on that. I think that would be just a move in the wrong direction to enhance an extra buck opportunity at this time. So I guess I would not be in favor of the motion. Or a petition, excuse me.
Any additional comments from the commission? The only 2 cents that I would bring up, I think, well, first, Chris, thank you for bringing this. It does give us all food for thought. And as I listen to some of the comments and that are coming from the commission, it does make me look to the future and where we're going, which leads me to a comment that Director Kirschman said. We do know that the department is going to be looking at some possible changes in the very near future to the deer draw. And I'm hesitant to make really any changes at this point, knowing we may be back at this in the next year. We don't know. And so I think you bringing this forward gives the department food for thought as they look at what that future deer plan will look like and who it will impact. And so for those reasons, I'm going to not move forward to approve the petition. And it's not that it's a bad idea. I just think the timing is not right. With that, we do need a motion and a second or additional comments.
Move to deny.
Move to deny by Commissioner Walken. Seconded by Commissioner Teal. Any comments on that denial? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The petition is denied. Thank you, Chris, for coming. We do appreciate your efforts.